You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. Let's get to some ghost stories, because that's what the stories are all about. So the first one tonight is coming out of Rhode Island, ladies and gentlemen. And this one is, hopefully it's good. It's pretty short, so let's see what it's got to say. This happened about 5 years ago, and I just started to do sleepovers at my boyfriend's house. And he lived in a three-story family house with brother on the first, mom on the second, and my boyfriend on the third. His dad was living with him at the time, so we would all stay at his mom's on the second, and she was at her boyfriend's house on weekends, and my boyfriend had just gotten up and kissed me goodbye, and he had an early shift at work. I rolled over on my side and was about to go to sleep when I heard someone walk in the bedroom and go to the jewelry on the dresser, and I thought maybe it was my boyfriend coming in for something, and I said, "Honey," and was rolling me over back to see my boyfriend, when at the corner of my eye I saw a dark figure walk by me. I got really scared because I realized it was not my boyfriend. I heard the figure walk from the kitchen to the living room. I was just too scared to follow it. I quickly called my boyfriend and told him to get to the house ASAP, and he came home to find me under his mother's covers. And he at first thought it was his dad coming into the house, but he locked the doors, and there is no other way to get into the second floor. His brother wasn't home, and he was away for the weekend, so this was not the last time we experienced something at the house. When I told his mom about it, she said she had experienced the things like that often in her house. There you go. So, cool story. I like that one. Quick and painless. This one's coming out of Kentucky. I always wanted to believe in the paranormal, but I was a skeptic, like most people. I had to see it to believe it. I was only about 15 to 16 years old and was dating someone who claimed his house was haunted. First of all, this guy was one of those people who stretched the truth and made up stories all the time, so I really didn't pay much attention to his allegations. I tried to come up with excuses for everything he claimed, and thinking that he and his friends were messing with me, because things only happened when his parents were gone. Several little things did happen here and there, but I still didn't believe it until one night. His bedroom was near the kitchen where the furnace was located, but yet his room was freezing all the time. No matter how hot the rest of the house was, you could feel a total temperature change as soon as you walked through the doorway. I simply blew it off, stating that it was an old house, and one night while watching TV, he set down his drink and came over to give me a hug, and he was facing his drink on the table, and I was not, and he then says, "Don't move." And we sat there for a moment, when he finally let go of me, and he told me to look at his drink. It had been moved over to a different spot. I tried to come up with a reason, and I swore that he moved it while I wasn't looking, trying to make sense of it. Then there was the slamming of the other bedroom doors. He would say, "See, I told you." But I would immediately run through the house and check the windows, claiming it was the wind coming through, but all the windows were closed. I didn't know what to say. What finally made me a believer was the night I heard it walk by me. We were home alone again, and I was sitting in a recliner near the bedroom door, facing the kitchen. We then heard someone open the front door and walk in. There was a pause, and we both looked at each other, wondering who it was and what they were doing, because no one said anything. Right before we could ask who's there or even check, the invisible began to walk slowly across the kitchen floor, right in front of me. It was the most eerie thing I've ever heard. It would take a step and drag, and then a step and drag, as if it were dragging something very heavy. Total terror and disbelief took over my body, and I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't turn away. Not like someone was holding me, but I was so terrified. I was paralyzed with fear. I just sat there, shaking with my mouth open and tears running down my face. I could hear something walking right in front of me, and yet there was nothing there. Once it crossed the kitchen, it just stopped, like nothing had ever happened. Then I started screaming and went into an asthma anxiety attack, and once I recovered, I demanded to be taken home, and I never returned. Now, here's the thing with a story like that. You recall during the narrative, she says nothing ever happened when the parents was home. And a lot of times in the case of a negative haunt, there will be certain members of the family that the spirits may be more intimidated by. They might be a little frightened. Perhaps the reluctance to do anything while the parents were there has to do with the fact that it may believe that the parents would take measures to get rid of it if they ever became fully aware of its presence. Many times, and oftentimes, I've said this before, in honesty, it's not meant to be a sexist remark, so please don't take any offense at this, but oftentimes the dominant male in the house will be more intimidating to the spirits. Now, that could be because they're from a time when, you know, males were much more dominant and, you know, were to be more feared, and women were passive, and it could be an old-fashioned sensibility like that, but whatever the case, a lot of times a father in a house or a dominant male will be the last one to experience anything. It's like the presence has to grow and grow and grow in the house and gain strength and gain momentum before it'll reveal itself to a dominant male. But it can also be a dominant female. I mean, whatever's the dominant presence in the house. Now, there are many very, very powerful women that are, you know, quite capable of taking care of themselves and, can be very intimidating for spirits as well. But I'm just, you know, speaking general. So I don't believe it's just a male energy. I just think maybe perhaps there is a more protective aspect to a male energy, but I don't know. I mean, you think of the whole, you know, mother bear and her cub. It's like the father bear doesn't care at all, but the mother bear will tear up somebody. They'll tear up some fools for getting out around, you know, near the cubs. So I don't know. I don't know what it is, but, you know, the fact that it doesn't happen for everybody and only happens to one or, you know, only the young children or whatever is not at all uncommon. So, but I think it has to do with a spiritual power, that kids are incredibly bright and light and open and they can see more clearly. But as far as a spiritual, powerful presence, most children don't have that. They are these gentle, little, innocent beings. And so they tend to be good targets for a malicious entity. Adults, we're more jaded. We're not as easily fooled. We're not as easily manipulated. And so I'm sure for a negative entity, adults would be a much less attractive target. And so for a manifestation or a presence not to reveal itself to, you know, the adults in the house doesn't surprise me at all. It happens all the time. And I think it has to do with that spiritual presence and the fact that, you know, maybe these things know that adults are the ones that will arrange them to get kicked out. I don't know. Just thinking on my feet as usual, ladies and gentlemen, but I there's something to that. Oh, that's interesting. This one's coming out of Virginia. Very early on Tuesday morning, July 16th, I woke up suddenly for absolutely no reason. There was no noise, no movement, nothing at all had disturbed my slumber. I don't know what compelled me to do so, but I immediately sat bolt upright and found myself blinking incredulously at the shadow image of a young African-American woman at the foot of my bed. In the darkness, it was hard to distinguish her features, but I sensed she was smiling at me. She appeared to have a scarf tied around her head, and her clothing looked like a loose-fitting blouse and skirt that might have been worn by slave girls during the Civil War. Disbelieving what my eyes were taking in, I shifted my gaze to the LED clock just beyond the apparition on my dressing table, and it was exactly 3:33 a.m. "I'm awake. I know I'm not dreaming," I said aloud, and as I spoke, the apparition began to fade very quickly. Within 2 seconds, all that remained was a white, misty outline of the woman, and then that faded as well. I looked down at my two dogs sleeping soundly at my feet. Neither one had stirred, making me wonder if I had, in fact, dreamed the entire experience. Wouldn't the dogs have sensed her presence, too? This is my third such encounter, and the first took place more than a decade ago when we lived in St. Louis, and I woke up in much the same manner to find a man wearing a trench coat and a fedora hat watching me from the front of the bed. I was very frightened, as I thought he was an intruder, until he faded into a mist. The second experience occurred 5 years later in our Cheyenne, Wyoming home. Lying on my side, I awoke suddenly and found myself face to face with a blonde-haired little girl wearing a pink dress. She appeared to be about 5 years old, was hovering next to my nightstand. Rather than fade away, she exited the bedroom by floating through the wall. I later learned that our house had been inhabited by a doctor and his family in the 1940s, and his young daughter had died while they lived there. I'm hoping to make some sense of this most recent encounter, and I plan to spend some time at my public library to see if slaves did indeed occupy the land upon which my current house is built. In any case, the slave girl apparition seemed happy and harmless. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have an apparition appear at 3:33 a.m., if it's smiling and looks nice, well, that's good. But you don't want the ones that are really crabby and they're not looking happy to see at all. that would make waking up less fun. It sounds to me, now here, there's a couple of things I'd like to cover in this, and that's the 3 to 4 a.m. time frame. That's, you know, that is the witching hour. A lot of people believe that it's midnight, but it's not. And paranormal investigators will tell you that the time when most of the activity jumps off is usually around 3 a.m. 3 to 4 a.m. is like the prime time to be investigating. So I don't know why that is. I don't know what about that time of day is enables them to become more active. I'm not sure. But I imagine it must be the fulcrum. I feel cold on my arm. I believe there's somebody in this room with me tonight. Yeah, I felt cold right next to my arm. Where's Deb? Is Deb in the chat room? Yeah, somebody's got to be here. I heard like a, I don't know if it was a growling noise or a scraping noise first. Then I heard something fall, and then I heard something again, and that's when I started calling the cat. And now I just felt a really cold chill on my arm. Deb, let me know what's going on in my room here. And I'm not freaked out or anything. This stuff doesn't bother me, but something's going on. I can feel the tingling of the energy. So something's going on here. I'm not sure what's going on, but again, it doesn't bother me. It's not freaking me out or anything, but I feel it coming back closer again. And ladies and gentlemen, believe this or not, but this room is absolutely closed. There's a door and two sealed windows that don't open. They're painted shut. There is no airflow in here at all, so it's not like a breeze. There, I felt it again. A cold chill on my arm. Huh. That's pretty cool. And you know, we've had things come or go. Nothing's showing up on the Ghost app, so again, I'm not a real big believer in that thing, but it's sometimes really interesting, but I don't know. I'm feeling a chill next to my arm, so... What are you saying, Deb? Your friend was standing behind Don last night. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there was some presence according to the Ghost app, if it does indeed work, which I'm not convinced it does, but it said it was recording a presence for about 30 seconds. Brent, I did a poll. Everyone wants you to tell these stories in a spooky Homer voice to it. Do you know how, you know, I love doing the Homer voice, and it's fine, it's funny and all, but I gotta tell you that doing a long story in a Homer voice would be really hard. It's not easy to talk like this. I have to like pinch my throat weird and put my chin down. So I appreciate that though. Thank you. I think it's funny. But yeah, Deb, if you pick up anything tonight, let me know. I'm not sure if Sean or Dee is in here either. But I mean, again, it's not freaking me out or anything. It's just somebody obviously wants to be noticed. So since you're here, you can maybe clue me in on what they need at this moment in time. So, but anyway, what was I? Oh, talking about the apparition at the bed. 3 to 4 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty hot time for paranormal investigating. Now, I can't say that exclusively or continuously. Yeah, I just feel that over here. There's a coldness in the air. It's like I'm moving my hand through, when you open a freezer, door, and you'll see this mentioned all the time on paranormal shows. And I'm not being dramatic, ladies and gentlemen. Honest to God, I'm not, because the bedtime stories is about me reading stories. I don't need to be dramatic. I don't need to pretend something's going on. But if something is going on, I'm going to have that conversation. I'm going to talk to you about it, because it's really, it's a cool experience. Now, there it is again on the back of my hand now, right now on the back of my hand. And there's no airflow in this room at all. So the fact that I would feel this changing air is really interesting. This is a closed room. No fan, nothing. Even the ceiling fan, which is normally spinning slowly, I forgot to turn it on before the show. So very interesting. Again, if you don't believe in this kind of stuff, you're probably watching the wrong show. Because that's what we do here. We talk about this stuff. But very interesting. I got to see if Deb said anything. Let's see. No, I don't think so yet. All right. Okay. All right. Well, when she gets back to me. Oh, there she is. I'm hearing music. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I can definitely feel like standing right beside me is a cold pocket of air. And it's not on my it's not on my left side. It's just on my right side. So, and even as I touch my other arm with my left hand, I can feel the temperature difference. Like this arm is colder. So it is very sincerely going on. Hey, Becky, what's going on is that I'm having something going on in my room here. There's like a spiritual charge here, and there's a cold air pocket next to me here. Right here, I still feel it. It's whatever it is, it's still standing right here. Perhaps it's, if Sean was here, he may be able to see it as well, but I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on. You're trying to call me? Oh, on what, Skype? Oh, you know what? I forgot to use the phone line. Hold on, let me connect the phone line. Derp. I knew I was forgetting something. I got this phone line and I can't even remember to use it. All right, we're going to get Deb on the phone here, guys. We're going to see what's going on. Just a sec. I forgot to turn on my own phone line. Yeah, I'm a pro. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. Okay, let's get this connected. God, I knew I was forgetting something. Oh, there she is. All right, let's see what she's got to say. Hi, Deb. Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. What are you picking up? What's going on around me here? Because it's definitely a different atmosphere in the studio tonight.
Your friend was standing behind Don last night.
Right. And yeah, I did see that, and that's cool. That would explain maybe why the thing went off yesterday.
He's also there with you tonight.
Okay. Oh, okay, my old.
And it seems like he's trying to let you know that something's getting ready to happen.
Good thing or bad thing? What's going on?
I don't think it's real bad, but something's coming up.
Oh, well, I hope it's a good thing. Okay. All right. Yeah, it seems really persistent tonight, whatever the deal is, because, I mean,
He's definitely, you know, wanting to let you know that he's there and letting you know that something's going on. He's not saying what's going on, but he's, he's trying to let you know something's going on.
Okay.
So just keep an eye out.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well, hopefully it's a good thing.
Hopefully.
Well, I mean, you're saying you're not quite sure, though, if it's good or bad, or
I'm not. No, okay. I don't think if it's not anything really bad, because it doesn't feel like it's real, real bad.
Does it feel like it's real, real good?
But he's not letting me know right now exactly what it is. He's just saying he's trying to let you know something's going to happen.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, at least that explains it then. I wish he'd get a little more creative with how he's communicating. But, you know, not that I mind the activity, but it's like, let's cut through the fluff here and get to the point. What do you need, you know? That's the part that stops.
Yeah.
I wish I could dial it in like you. You know, I really do, because
They do that sometimes, though. You can feel them whizzing around you sometimes, or they tap you on the shoulder, or just anything to try to get your attention. So,
well, I hope Duke's right.
This is what's going on.
Duke just said I won the lottery, so I hope Duke's right.
I get 10%.
You do? Oh, wow. All right. Okay, so nothing else then? That's just what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just wanting to let you know that something's coming.
Okay. Well, and ladies and gentlemen, what Deb is referring to is an old roommate of mine. He and I were best friends out of high school and into my 20s, and we were very, very, very tight. And then we had a falling out. And his life really went kind of downhill. And unfortunately, he was really in love with the chemicals. I mean, he just was. And he essentially drank himself to death. And I mean literally, not just that he got too drunk, but he drank so much and so often that his liver actually died. His liver died, and that killed him. And he knew that was coming, and he knew it was dangerous, but he still did it, which, you know, breaks my heart that's how the journey ended for him. But, you know, he was just that way. And so what Deb is saying is that he's sticking around, and we've had this discussion off the air many times about who this is, because, you know, I've been feeling for a long time there's a presence around here, just not sure who it was. So, okay.
Well, that's who it is.
Okay, well, that helps. At least now, and you know what? Now the cold pocket is gone, so I guess he feels like message delivered, because it doesn't feel cold over here at all.
Okay, well, if I find out anything else, then I'll let you know.
All right, my lady, thank you. I appreciate you helping me on this. That's just one of those things.
You're very welcome.
All right, love you.
Love you.
Okay,
bye.
Good night. All right, very cool. Yeah, I mean, what a rookie move. I got a phone line, and I forget to turn it on. That's the excitement tonight right here in the studio. I guess Don's glad he didn't show up tonight, because Don gets kind of freaked out by this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm not laughing to make fun of him. It's just, you know, it's Don. Come on. Don is a hilarious guy. All right, so the next one's coming out of Florida, ladies and gentlemen. And what's going on in Florida? I lived with my parents' house, in my parents' house, my entire life, ever since I was young. And I'd get an uneasy feeling about the house. It seemed like every day someone or was missing something, or the lights would turn on by themselves, and I eventually got used to it and learned to accept the weird things about my home. Recently, about 2 years ago, things got even stranger. I'd wake up in a hot sweat and feel as though someone was pushing down on me. Then, about the same time, my parents just started arguing every day as though they hated each other. They had never been like this before the events started happening, and I thought it might be whatever I had experienced. I had begun going to church a while back, and since that night, I woke up with the pressure on my chest, and I had begun to see things out of the corner of my eyes. It would look like a man standing or walking, and when I turned, my eyes would only see the air. Then about 4 months ago, the sightings began, happening more and more. The nighttime events continued as well. Now they just happen almost 2 times a week. And I thought maybe it was me until a few weeks ago. A friend of mine brought me home from church one evening, and as I was about to get out, and he said, "Wait." And I turned and saw a very odd look in his eyes. He had been an EMT and is now a firefighter, so I trust his word. And he said, "Do you see that?" Having been looking for the lock on his door, I said, "No. Why? What do you see?" And he begins to act strange and says, "It looked like a man was standing next to your door." I jokingly said, "Oh, you see him too?" "I see him all the time." And then he put his hands across my chest and said, "He don't look so friendly." And I just tried to get out of the car and inside the house, so I said goodbye and thanks for the ride and got out. As I was approaching the door, I was fishing in my pocket for my keys when he screamed out, "Hey!" and flashed his high beams. And just then, I saw the shadow of a man running away from me towards the next house. I jumped, but noticed that the shadow was solid, and there was no man to cast the shadow. He told me to stay safe, and I ran inside, and this has been getting worse since, and was hoping someone could give me advice. Well, if it's not in your house, that's good. If it's just outside, you know, that's still creepy, but at least you can take comfort inside. But if that's inside your house as well, then you got to get some help. You got to get some cleansing done and some professionals in there to clean it out. some spiritualists or whatever your religion is. Get someone that represents that and have them do some ceremonies. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in. Oh, this one sounds pretty dark. This one's coming out of Colorado. This took place July 18th of 2007 in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It was in my bathroom. I was standing up in my bathroom looking at the medicine cabinet when all of a sudden I felt like I was pushed from the side and I felt like I had just been stabbed. It hurt and stung really bad. I woke up on the floor and had things all around me that I didn't move. I looked at my side later and there was fingerprints from where I felt like I had been pushed. There was also what looked like a cut on my side, right below the fingerprints. Now, I don't know what could have caused it. Also, I've been told that I can see or speak to ghosts, and I believe it. One time, my friend had come over. We haven't been friends since this incident, and I told her that there was something next to her. I just couldn't make out what it was. I looked closer, and it looked like a face looking over her shoulder. It was very scary and very real. I tried to tell her, but she wouldn't listen. Then, and this is what she claims, my voice changed, and I started to say words from a different language. She said the things started to move, and the door locked by itself. I reached out and grabbed a knife and stabbed it in my stomach. Then I woke up with blood stains on my shirt and the door locked, and she was crying and wouldn't let me near her. She said that I looked possessed and that I should have a spell or blessing done on me. The funny thing is, I really don't remember what happened. I only know this because she told me. Recently, the same incident happened and I seemed to be possessed more often. Jeez. I can talk to people that no one can see, and often people come up and ask me to contact their departed loved ones, and they say that I again became possessed and sound like their relatives or whoever they want to contact. I once did this for a demonist, and he said that I was possessed by a demon. This fact has scared me for all my life. Please, if you can give me any advice what to do, please let me know. I don't want to be in the news or on TV, and I don't want any people coming to my house, so I'm signing this as anonymous. Thank you. Well, that's all kinds of wrong. I mean, it's fine to have, a barrier between you and the world most of the times, but if you're stabbing yourself with a knife, then it's game over. You got to get some help. It could be psychological. It could be psychiatric issue. But it is possible that it is, truly a spiritual issue. And if it is any of the above, you need help. You can't just be alone. That's not going to do it. That's one of those things where generally if it's that far along, you can't really help yourself. And if it is indeed medical or some kind of issue with your brain, you need some kind of help. So, I do believe that there are probably, a lot of misdiagnoses where people go to, get referred to psychiatrists or, for issues such as this and end up getting locked up and fed medications. And I think that that's a tragedy, but I do think there are also people that need those things that they can't function on their own and because of psychiatric issues. So, I don't know. I just, that word is not shaping right. And I don't think you can dismiss the medical causations either. I mean, that just wouldn't be smart or prudent. And, I'd love to say that everything that's wrong is spiritual, and maybe on some level it is because we do manifest life, but I'm not a big pursuer of, you know, going to doctors for everything that's wrong. I think that that's not the answer either. And I think that pharmaceuticals are overprescribed, and there's a lot of people, you know, running around that are, you know, they have holes in them from being not acknowledging spiritual issues. But there are those people that need those things. And you know, for any kind of true investigating, for any kind of true research, you have to consider both. You have to consider both the medical possibilities and the spiritual possibilities. Now, you know, the medical field only acknowledges the medical possibilities, no matter what. Even if they don't very clearly find a reason, they look at the symptoms and treat it like that's the disease, even if it's not, even if there's no physical causation for it. But, you know, unfortunately, the other side of the coin is that there are spiritual reasons, but sometimes a doctor can help make that journey a little less painful. And, you know, you can get some help at least to treat the symptoms. So I don't know. It's a catch-22, I guess. There is no real easy answer for those kind of things. But you can't rule out medical professionals because, you know, there are people that just have, that are just way out there that are, you know, have problems with their brains. And it has nothing to do with spirits. All right. Sorry. I feel like I'm all over the map tonight, so I apologize. But I'm trying to pull it together for you guys to give you a show. Excuse me. This one's coming out of Missouri. When my oldest daughter was 2.5, she's now 13, she would sense and see things that we could not. We would sneak and sit outside of her room and listen to her giggle and talk in baby talk in her room to all, the while she was looking up in the corner of the ceiling. I would always tell her to say hi to them from us, her angels. One evening, my daughter and I were visiting a friend's house, well, his brother's house, and he was giving us a tour of his home, and we had walked into the home office to look around. And when I noticed, my daughter stopped right at the threshold, and I tried to persuade her to come in. No luck. And then we went about the house again, walking in and out of rooms, up and downstairs, and we passed the home office again, and she stops dead. I picked her up and proceeded to walk through the door, and she was trying to wiggling to get out of my arms, and she's saying, no, 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 go in. I looked at my friend's brother with a questioning look and tried again, same response from her. I knew she felt something. I kept it to myself and didn't want to alarm them. We were all sitting in the living room having pizza when my daughter, 2.5, sits next to him on the couch and says, baby not here, baby up there, pointing to the ceiling. Baby Amy went bye-bye. All of us were stunned. Just looking at her, my friend's brother just begins crying and then explains to me that his now home office was to be the nursery for their daughter. And I was just then told was stillborn at 9 months and they had named her Amy. He just hugged my daughter and continued crying, knowing now that she was okay and at peace. Wow. That's amazing. Huh. It sounds like those things must have faded for that little child, because it sounds like just when she was little. Isn't that a shame, though? Isn't that a shame that there was such a window to see clearly this other world, and somehow our lives just take it away from some reason? Whether it's hormonal, whether it's just the fact that we lose that perfect focus or whatever, it's so tragic to me. It feels like that's the way we're supposed to be. That we're supposed to be able to see that clearly and to be able to see and experience all of these other realities around us, but we can't. We're just so sucked into this one dimension. That's too bad. All right, let's get to the next one. I'm going to do a couple more, and that should about do it tonight. I'm sorry for the weirdness that was going on, but, you know, this is the Paranormal Portal. All right, this one is coming out of Arizona. Arizona, Jess. All right. This one is, when I was young, I lived in Alaska. What does it say, Arizona, then? My family and I moved into this old house on the side of a hill about a mile out of town. I had two sisters and four brothers, and so you can get the idea of the size of the old house. When we moved in, all the house was empty except for this one room that was upstairs on the third floor. It was the only room up there, and it was full of boxes. Nothing seemed to be wrong in the house for over a month. One day, myself and three of my brothers decided to go into that room and dig through those boxes. You know, how young boys can't stay out of things, and that boxes was only had personal items in them. Old pictures and stuff that's of that sort. And when we left the room, it was a mess with all the stuff and boxes everywhere. I never thought anything about the room or anything in it again until a week later. Excuse me. My family had gone into town, but I decided to stay home alone. I was settling in a setting room at the floor of the stairs that led up to that room, and I was playing some John Denver tapes. Country road, take me home. When I heard a voice. It was the voice of an old woman. She sounded like she was in that room, and she was really mad. I could tell that she was coming down the steps by the sound of her voice. She was saying, God blank those kids. I'll teach them not to get in my stuff. And then she went quiet. I was so afraid, but I looked up real quick to see a cloud-looking figure standing at the front steps. I didn't know what to do, so I acted like I didn't see her and just turned off the tape player and got up and walked out of the house. But when I got out there, I ran the mile to town. I never said anything to anyone about what had happened, but soon after, my dad moved us out of that house. About 20 years later, I took my kids to Alaska to see where I used to live when I was young, and I'd gone to the graveyard down the street from that old house. I found a grave for the husband of the old woman, and I noticed it was fenced off for two graves, but one was empty. I did some research into what happened to the old woman's body and found that before she died, she had befriended some of the townspeople to take care of her. She got sick, so her friends sent her to a town far away where they had better doctors. When she died, her friends left her body there for the state to take care of, while they split with each other all of her land and that old house. The old woman never got to be in the grave next to the man that she had loved her whole life. And her unresting soul just walked the hall and rooms in that old house, waiting for someone to put her body where she wanted to be. Wow. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry for the convoluted mess this show has become tonight, but you know, just a weird night. Just a weird night is all I can say. Sometimes those things happen. But we're doing seven shows a week, so I hope you can forgive me one once in a while. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.